Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to read one verse here, and then we'll turn to some other passages and read verses there also. We'll start in Proverbs chapter 10, and verse number 27. Proverbs 10, verse 27. And read the verse with me. Ready? The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And then if you would, turn over just a few pages to Proverbs 14, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27. And again, read this verse, please. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. And then over to Proverbs 16, verse 24. Proverbs 16, verse 24. And let's read this one together. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And then one more verse, Proverbs 17 and verse 22. Proverbs 17, verse 22. Let's read it together. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And let's pray. Lord, we sure do love you and thank you for the privilege we have to be here. Lord, what an honor it is just to be able to talk to you. And we pray that this evening, as your word is preached, that you would do something in our lives, give our preacher your power. Lord, prepare us for what you have in the future. We ask that you would use us. Make this place exactly what you want it to be. May we be willing as individuals to be what you want us to be. We love you, Lord. Amen. If you did not get to glance at the deaf interpreter while he was doing that, you missed the real show. Look like a bee back there. Fly. Yeah, thank you, Brother Nash. Tonight, I have announced that I was going to preach a sermon called God's Health Care Reform Plan. I have here a copy of the Washington Post, dated today, Sunday, September 13, 2009. And a big article in front of the Capitol building, and it says, Lashing Out at the Capitol. And of course, that's a lot to do with the reform and the health care plan. There's a lot of talk about the health care reform plan. President Obama has promised the American people a health care solution. He has a plan. Of course, it'll cost the taxpayers probably hundreds of billions of dollars if it goes through. And obviously, his plan has both supporters and opponents. And whichever one you are, that's fine with me. That's going to be up to you. But let me tell you this. I think God has a plan. And I think if we would follow God's plan, it could turn America's health around. You know, if you want to stay safe in this world today, I can give you some advice. Somebody compiled 5 points about staying safe in today's society. Number one, avoid riding automobiles because they are responsible for 20% of all fatal accidents. Number two, do not stay home because 17% of all accidents occur in the home. Number three, avoid walking on streets or sidewalks because 14% of all accidents occur to pedestrians. Number four, avoid traveling by air or rail or water because 16% of all accidents involve these forms of transportation. And then finally, point five, of the remaining 33% of all deaths may occur in the hospitals. So whatever you do, don't go to the hospital. That adds up to 100% of safety. I think that God has a health care plan in his book. I'll tell you something. I think America was healthier when we followed, preached, and believed God's health care advice. Now, don't let this scare you. I have 16 points, but they're going to go quite quickly and will be out earlier than what you think. And I'm going to show you 16 things that the Bible teaches would improve our health. And if America would just get back to the Bible, we would be healthier. I wish that we could take the Washington Post and purchase a page and Just give God's health care plan and list the scripture and let people see what God thinks would help us to be healthy in America. You stay with me now. Let me say number one. I think we ought to laugh often and at clean things. Say what? For health? Uh-huh. Laugh often and at clean things. The Bible says this, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So what's God telling us? God's telling us that somehow a merry heart is like a medicine. A merry heart does some healing. A merry heart takes that infection of the spirit and injects the antibiotic of healing. And God wants us to laugh. You know, you'll notice at our conferences we have skits. Why? People need to laugh. People need to laugh. This old world, it's all bummed out about everything under the sun. Thank God that we around here can laugh and we can smile. But the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Notice it says that your broken spirit dries your bones. Let me say something to some of you. Your attitude may be hurting your health. Your attitude may be weakening your bones. You say, you believe that? I believe the Bible. I believe anything that the Bible says is true. There's some of you, you're so sour, you're constantly turning your nose up, everything's a negative to you, nobody can please you, you are going to ruin your health. Number two, honor your parents. Honor your parents. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Here the Bible says, if you will honor your parents, if you'll treat your parents right, you're going to live longer. Now, I guess that's a part of health, right? Having a prolonged life, living a long life. Now, what we need to do, and I think America is in bad shape health-wise. Why? I don't think we honor our parents anymore. I really believe that God is disappointed when we don't honor our parents. And one of the blessings that he can withhold is our health. And he may bring our lives to a shorter end than what we expected. And anyway, if you don't obey your parents, you may die early from that. And so if I were you, I'd just obey your mom and dad and honor your parents. Why? It'll make you healthier. So, I think in God's health care plan, he tells us that we ought to laugh and have a merry heart, and we ought to laugh at the right kinds of things. Number two, we ought to honor our parents. Number three, I think we ought to fear God. We ought to fear God. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Here God says, you want a longer life? You want the right type of a life? He says, I can give you a fountain of life as a result of what? Fearing God. America no longer fears God. And I think it has something to do virtually with our physical health and the longevity of life. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Let me tell you something. You go out and carouse and party and do what the world does, you'll die young. You'll rot away. You'll destroy your health. You'll destroy your spirit. You'll destroy your body. But fearing God is going to produce better health. And that doesn't mean if somebody has bad health that they have not feared God. There are times when God allows bad health, but I'm going to tell you this. The lack of the fear of God complicates people's health. So in God's health care plan, I see that he tells us to have a merry heart. I see, secondly, he tells us to honor our parents. I see, thirdly, he requests that we fear him, and then he will prolong our days. Number four, be faithful to church. Be faithful to church. You say, why? Well, you'll be pleased to learn that only 0.001% of all deaths occur in worship services or in church. And these are usually related to previous physical disorders. Therefore, logic tells us the safest place for you to be at any given point in time, any day of the week, any time of the day, is in church. You say, that's a coincidence. No, that's not a coincidence. That's God. That's God. Hey, get this. Bible study is safe as well. The percentage of death during Bible study is even less than the percentage of death during church services. You say, why is that? Well, there are just so few that do it. I suppose that has something to do with it. When was the last time you heard someone say, I read my Bible and I died? But I think you ought to be faithful to church. I'm not an eerie or a spooky person, but I would not want to be out of church and taking a risk out there on the roads, out running around when I was healthy enough to be in church. Now, somebody's sick and they have to stay home. I understand that. And let me recommend this to all of us. You know, the flu season hits and things, we need to be careful dragging ourselves in here and spreading it around. Let's be careful with that. But, you know, if you're healthy enough, you ought to be in church. Why? It's a very safe place to be. For some of you, truly, I hope this haunts you. When you're well enough to be in church and you're out playing and running around, you are in danger. You are going to endanger your health, and don't let that happen to you. So, in God's health care plan, I see that He tells us to laugh, and laugh at the right things, and laugh often. I see that He tells us to honor our parents. I see that He recommends that we fear Him, that we fear God. I see here that for safety's sake, to attend church and read our Bible, that might save your life, and you ought to be in church. Let me say number five, don't take the Lord's Supper unworthily. Don't take the Lord's Supper unworthily. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29 and 30 says, For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. The Lord's Supper is when we take that little piece of bread without yeast in it, we take that juice that's not fermented, and we do it in remembrance of our Lord, that He shed His body, the bread, and He shed His blood, the juice. And He told us, as oft as you eat and drink, do it in remembrance of me. And God said, though, there in 1 Corinthians 11, He said, before you do it, examine yourself. And you make sure that there's nothing between you and the Savior. And I really believe this. I believe a large amount of sickness in churches comes from people that play a religious game when they're taking the Lord's Supper. There are people that, you know, you get to sitting around somebody and you're afraid not to take the Lord's Supper. You know you're not right with God. You know you shouldn't be taking it. But you're more afraid of somebody sitting near you than you are the God of the universe. You should not take the Lord's Supper when you have known you're practicing sin in your life. Now, nobody's perfect, and we're going to have things that we fall short on, but God will convict you and God will speak to you. But America, let me tell you something. Do you realize all across America there are religious organizations that serve up what they call communion and the Lord's Supper? People are living like a bunch of animals and like a bunch of lost people, and they take the Lord's Supper. No wonder America's sick like she is. God told us if we eat or drink unworthily, He said you will be weak. I wonder how much energy you don't have because you take the Lord's Supper and it's just a sloppy religious service to you. It says some will be weak. It says some will be sickly. And then it even says some sleep. And as you hear me say so often, I'm not talking about the kind of sleep that you're doing right now while I'm preaching. That is a permanent sleep. That is closing one's eyes in death. And God said if you take it unworthily, it can even get to the point where you may die. You may die. God said here, He said, He uses the word, they eat and drink damnation to themselves. Notice He goes into them, the physical body. I don't want us to be weak. I don't want us to be sickly. I don't want us to die. So we better take the Lord's Supper, and we better do it with a clean heart toward God. And America would stop playing religion, and America would stop playing with the Lord's Supper, and if churches, if pastors would get up and warn people, if pastors would just preach the Bible again, they just tell people and warn people and tell them the truth, maybe we wouldn't have that problem. Number six, I think in God's health care plan, He would tell us that if we would trust Him, we would be healthier. Trust God. Have faith in God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Notice it says with all thine heart. God is telling us there we ought to put our faith in His word, and we ought to put our faith in His will, and put our faith in His leading. It says with all thine heart. Now, folks, when we don't exercise faith, we cause ourselves a lot of stress. You say, God told me to give the tithe. Just give it and have faith in God. Don't be stressed out about it. Just give it and take care of it and do what God wants. We debate God too much, and we just need to obey God. But there are times when we get so rattled in life and so panicky in life. Hey, our God's a good God. God's going to watch out for us. God's going to protect us. Did you know that there's not a thing that comes into the Christian life that has not passed across the desk of God? God glanced at it and said, I can allow that. I can allow that. I don't know that every time something happens, it was necessarily what God's first choice was for you and I, because I think there are sometimes our disobediences and our rebellion cause some things to come into our life. But I promise you this, nobody gets away with anything without God glancing at it and saying, okay, I see that's a coming. So let me say, in the Christian's life, the occurrences, for some reason, they're there. And God's aware of them. You know, we just need to believe in the sovereignty of God. Some of you need to relax a little bit in the will of God. And some of you are way too stressed. You're just way too stressed. You panic way too much. You just get all uptight and tense about some of the smallest things. Now, everybody's guilty of it some. But can I tell you something? That's not good for your health. There's some of you that you get all like that and get all in a dander, you end up hurting yourself. I mean, you virtually end up straining yourself and hurting yourself. You can't sleep at night. Well, no wonder America's a mess. We don't trust God anymore. You're not going to have good health when you live in a panic mode all the time and you're always panic-stricken. I say America would be healthier if we'd get back to trusting the old black book, if we would get back to trusting God. Let me move on. Number 7, we need to stop drinking booze. Get rid of the liquor and the wine and the beer and get rid of the Jack Daniels. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to drink strong drink. Somebody needs to tell the people down at the Capitol building, God said kings and leaders are not supposed to be sucking Jack Daniels down their throat and trying to lead our country. No wonder our country's messed up. No wonder they can't lead. No wonder our country is in such disarray. God said leaders aren't supposed to be drunk. Everybody here knows you go get messed up in you. You don't think right. You don't do right. America would be healthier if we would shut down all the liquor stores. We ought to shut them down and stop drinking. You're going to rot your liver out. You're going to rot your brain out. I wonder how many physical injuries come from the people that are drunk, stumbling around, wrecking their cars, bumping into people, breaking arms, breaking legs, making themselves puke their guts up. There's something wrong with that. I wonder how many a wife has been hurt physically because her husband beat her or a child was abused because daddy was drunk. I wonder how many people go to the hospitals, and the hospital never knows, but it's a result of the devil's water. It's a result of liquor. I'll tell you, we figured out how much health care money has to be spent in America, whether private or from the government, to take care of what liquor causes. I think we'd be astounded. I think we'd be appalled. You say, what's the answer? Shut the liquor stores down. I wish, you know, I'm not sure I know where you could buy groceries where they don't sell liquor. And that makes me mad. When my wife and I first got married, we would not buy groceries from some place that sold liquor. It got to the point where we're going to have to eat leaves, bark. It's too bad. I really don't believe, and my kids, they can tell you this, we would not go down the liquor aisle with our kids in the little basket at the store. We didn't want them to think that liquor was just a staple of life. It was not. We hated it. It was evil. It was bad. It'll ruin your health. Young people, beer's bad. Wine's bad. Liquor's bad. It's evil. It's not cool. It's not nice. It's wrong. It's sin. Don't do it. It'll ruin your health. I think President Obama ought to get up and say that on national television. I'm for change. Let's change that then. If we're for change, let's get back to the Bible. And so, I think God has a health care plan. I think he tells us with that spirit that God has put within us, we ought to laugh and keep ourselves healthy, and somehow a joyful heart and a merry heart works like a medicine. I think we ought to get back to honoring our parents. I think we ought to get back to fearing God. I think we ought to be faithful to God's house. I don't think we ought to take the Lord's Supper unworthily, and I think that we ought to trust God and lower the stress in our life, and I think we ought to get rid of the booze. Then I think this. I think America needs to control their eating habits. The Bible calls it gluttony. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:21, "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." Here the Bible talks about coming to poverty. Of course, obviously, if you overeat and you continuously overeat, it's going to cost you money. It's not only going to cost you money, it'll cost you your health. It'll cost you your health. I think it can cause poor health. And here it tells us that if we eat too much, we'll be continuously drowsy. In other words, we can't apply ourselves. You know what it's like. Nothing like. There's nothing like Thanksgiving dinner. And everybody here suddenly turns into a Mexican because you want to take a siesta right after that big meal. And I'm for people having food and enjoying their food, but I think America is eating herself into a health mess. I think what we eat, I think how we eat, I think how often we eat, I think when we eat, I think we're messing ourselves up. If I could, may I recommend that maybe you drink some water? You say, well, soda has water in it. Well, not much. But you ought to drink some water. Fruit and vegetables are still good for you. And I think that we ought to be careful. I'm talking about gluttony. I love this. An elderly man went to the doctor for a visit. Doc, he says, I am so stricken, I'm miserable. I have chest pains, headaches, back pains, nausea, arthritis, stomach cramps, earaches, burning in the eyes, congested lungs. Oh, doc, help me, help me. Sir, said the doctor, you complain and complain about so many things that you have. Is there anything you don't have? He said, yeah, I don't have my teeth. I tell you something, you and I, we have, everybody in here, you walked in here. We have so many wonderful things happening for us. And I think this. I think some of us ought to appreciate the health that we have, and if we're not careful, we're going to ruin it. We're going to ruin it. You know, there are people that are in their senior years that would say to some of you young people, listen to the preacher when he tries to get you to protect and guard your health. You're going to wish you had it as you grow older. But when I look here at the Bible, I think God could help America. I think God has health care advice for America. Laugh. Honor your parents. Fear God. Be faithful to church. Don't take the Lord's Supper in vain. Trust God and lower your stress. Get rid of the booze. Watch how you eat. Then may I suggest, or may God suggest, control your anger. Control your wrath. Control your temper. Proverbs 19:11 says, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." It talks about discretion here. It's talking about controlling. It means you gotta, when you're angry, you gotta learn how to delay it so you don't blow your stack and say what you shouldn't and behave in a way you shouldn't. Defer it. Put it off. Now, folks, anger brings on health problems, stress, injury, elevated blood pressure. You know, I've known and I've read where people lose their temper, and as they're in a rage, they burst blood vessels in their brains and in their neck. And some of you, you're not as healthy, and I'll tell you why. You just throw fits all the time. You have temper. You know, rage and temper, it's not always on the outside. Sometimes you're just as angry as fire on the inside. You just tense up. You just tense up all the muscles in your spirit and in the inside of you. You'll destroy your health that way. You'll destroy your health that way. Let me go on. Number 10, learn to speak pleasant words. Learn to speak pleasant words. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." So God, there's two things I think God is saying to us here. First of all, notice he said health to the bones. Health to the bones. Of course, you know, the bone has bone marrow. It has something to do with the production of our blood, and there's the red corpuscles and the white corpuscles, and I'll promise you, stress and anger and the way you act affects your blood. It affects your blood. Now, I don't have time to do a study on it right here, but God is saying to us, pleasant words are going to be sweet to the soul and health to the bones. If some of you could just learn to talk a little more pleasantly, you might be healthier. You say, are you crazy? You think that learning to talk pleasantly could give health to my bones? No, I don't think that. God thinks that. That's what God said. I believe everything printed in this black book. And I don't believe this one has any mistakes. I think it's God's word. I think it's God's word. I'm not going to apologize for the old black book. And I think that pleasant words can bring health to the bones. I think then you and I ought to learn how to talk right. You know, some of you, you would relax your stress. You would have such anger if you could learn to be complimentary of people. If you can learn to put a little kindness and a little cushion in what you say and how you say it, learn how to talk gently and nice and kind. So I think we ought to learn to talk pleasant words, but I think this also. I think you ought to do what you can to protect your ears so you're not hearing the wrong kind of talk. Do you know how much stress you cause yourself when you sit around and listen to gossip and negative talk to others? I think I can take you to people, and I think they're unhealthy because all they do is listen to people. They got you so uptight, and you're so frustrated, and it's no wonder you're sick. Stress will make you sick. You get enough stress in your life, it'll lower your tolerance and your immune system. And then you need to make sure that you're listening to the right kind of talk and you're talking the right kind of talk. Why? Because pleasant words are health to your bones. Let me go on. Number 11. Depart from evil. Depart from evil. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 7 and 8, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Here again, God promises us health. He promises to make the marrow of our bones healthy, which then produces the blood, which then has something to do with your heart. And of course, you know that the oxygen is carried by the blood through the system, and it'll make you healthier. You say, by doing what? Departing from evil. That's what God promised. God promises better health to those that stay away from evil. Now remember something. Sin and evil are two different things. Sin is that which you do that affects you. Evil is when you affect others. Evil is when you get involved in little plots and plans that are out to destroy someone. That thing of prolonged planned bitterness and hurting folks. And so don't be evil and don't be around evil people. Don't be around evil people. Run from evil. Run from that negative. Some of you be healthier. Not only will you be healthier physically, you'll be healthier spiritually. You've heard me say this, and I'll say it again. Pretty well it's known across the country. After church, I don't go out to eat with a bunch of pastors and things. Now, there are some that I feel comfortable at doing so, but I don't sit around and talk about all the preachers across the country. I don't think that I'm King Tut of fundamentalism. I don't go around talking bad about pastors and their churches. And all of you know this. You know, I don't get in this pulpit and attack preachers around the country. I don't do that. And sometimes people just get casual time together, and before long, they ran out of good things to say, so they start talking about people. You don't get anywhere by talking about people. If you're around somebody continuously, they're always voicing everything they don't like about your church and everything that they don't like about the music around here and what they don't like about the Sunday school around here. Number one, you're going to hurt your health. Number two, you're going to hurt yourself spiritually. But here it says, depart from evil, and it will be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Let me go on. Number 12. Have no physical relationship outside of wedlock. And we're talking about sexual relationship. The Bible says this, flee fornication, every sin, 1 Corinthians 6:18, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. I'll say it again. You've heard me say it before. I will not change my tune. If you're not married, keep your hands off of each other. Say, what will that do? Well, it'll eliminate sexually transmitted diseases. keep you from getting pregnant out of wedlock. And also, young people, let me explain something to you. Your body, when you're in your youth, was not created to have a physical relationship. You wait until you're an adult and you're married. That's how God planned it. You may not believe it, but some of you, if you get to messing around before your time, later in life, you'll pay for some of that. And something that you wanted to enjoy later, you'll use some of it in your youth because you damaged your body that was not created to have it in your early stages. And I know exactly what I'm talking about. But no physical relationships outside of wedlock. And I'm not talking about shacking up and living together. You're supposed to get married. Get married. Living together is not marriage. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to tell you, it's wrong. And I think you'll hurt yourself, your health that way. I really believe that.